I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I do abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have now made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bear forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Praise the Lord. Grady, I'm going to ask if you would pray for me right now as I begin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abide in me. That's the secret. Abide in me. That's obviously something that God does not do for you. That's obviously something that you can do. That's your part. God has saved you. By faith you've received it. But you must abide. You must use your will to abide. That's the secret of a fruitful life. Now God does not want to have, in fact it's impossible. If you're a Christian, if you're a disciple, then you are bearing fruit. You will bear fruit. You must bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, then you're not of His. I'm going to say that again. If you are a Christian, then you will bear fruit. You must bear fruit. That's what a Christian is. Someone who loves the brethren. Someone who worships the Lord. Someone who reaches out to the lost and is able to bear testimony unto salvation. Now that's fruit. That's what the fruit is, to worship God, minister unto the Lord, to edify the brethren, to lift up the brothers and sisters, to love one another, and to reach out to the lost. That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about. That fruit comes in no other way except asking. You must ask for it, because you cannot produce it of yourself, so you must ask God to do it. But the secret to it is to abide. Now this is very interesting because Christians find themselves sinning. How many have discovered that? That's not fruit. I just want you to know that is not fruit. When you sin, you miss the mark, you're not ministering unto God, you're not edifying the brethren, you're not loving one another, and you're not reaching out to the lost. That's sin. That's missing the mark. But the reason that that happens is because you didn't ask God to help you. And the reason that that happens is because you didn't know what you were to do because you weren't abiding. God does not want you just to bear fruit. That's a sign. Fruit is not something you need to work at. Fruit is a result. It's a sign. It's a product of something. The thing that you must do is abide. Have fellowship with God. Now, it's very easy to abide. It's very easy to abide. All you have to do is believe that God, through the blood of Jesus, has paid for all sin. Every time you miss the mark, every time you blow it, every time you don't do right, the sin has been paid for, and you know at once what the problem is. The problem is I didn't abide. If I sin, I wasn't abiding. I cannot abide in God and abide in sin at the same time. I cannot be in God and be in sin at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. If my branch, if my life is not bearing fruit, I'm not abiding. If I find that I'm sinning, if I find temptations come and I give in to them and I can't get out of them, I'm not abiding. That's what the Word says. Therefore, the secret is not to try to bear fruit. The secret is not to try to stop sinning. The secret is to abide. The secret is to abide. So God has provided here something that most Christians don't understand. I would say most Christians, when they fall into sin, they try to stop sinning, right? Hello? Amen. They feel bad about it right away, and they think, oh, why did I do that? I've got to stop doing that. But Jesus said, no, the reason that you sinned was because you didn't abide. You didn't stay in the vine. That's something you must do. Even though you're born again, even though you have a new heart, unless you abide in me, unless you remain in me, unless you stay in me, unless you continue to the end in me, then you will fall into sin and won't bear fruit. But then the question is, could you really be a Christian? Because the whole point of being born again is to bear fruit. The whole point of being born again is to bear fruit. But as a byproduct, what's the byproduct? Is that you've been born again to know the Lord, and when you know the Lord, the sign will be that you bear fruit. God is more interested, I'll make this very clear, in relationship than he is in performance. He's more interested in abiding than he is in bearing fruit. He's more interested in knowing him than he is in making him known. He's more interested in coming to him and staying in him and falling in love with him and seeing how great he is than he is in you doing something for him, in him, with him, or through him. God wants you to know him, and therefore there's nothing now keeping you from knowing God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, you must believe this in order to exercise your will. If you know that the blood has covered all sin, past, present, and future, then when you blow it, immediately you know what the problem is. What's the problem? You didn't ask God. Why? Because you weren't abiding. Why? Because you are under some lie that says God doesn't like you right now, or sin is more attractive. I want to tell you something. If you're a Christian, you've been born again, and you fall into sin, it isn't sin that's attractive. It's that you're under a lie that God doesn't love you and that you cannot abide in him right now. And the devil is keeping you from abiding in God. Now, I'm going to say that again, because if you fall into a sin, the thought is this: oh, why did I sin? I guess that I can't resist temptation. Look, if you're born again, you can resist temptation. Amen? I'm going to say that again because I want you to know that. If you're born again, there is no sin that can hold you. Now, I know we wrestle with sin. I'm aware of that. But there's no sin that can hold you because you're born again. And you can't sin. That is, you can't stay in sin. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, and also the 9th verse says, anyone born of God cannot sin. That is, cannot stay in the sin. Now, you will fall into sin. You will fall into temptation. That's all right. That's possible. And the reason you do is because you're not abiding. But if you abide, you won't even do that. If you abide, if you stay in God. Now, if you don't, that is, if you go into the house and then you leave it for a period of time, you will fall into sin. You will cease to ask God, and you will find you're not bearing fruit again. All you need to do then is take the blood with you, go back in and say, God, forgive me. He does. Now, you'd only do this if you've been abiding in your heart. Now, you go back in, you begin to abide with God again, he forgives you, he speaks to you, he says, do this, bear this fruit. You ask him, say, Lord, well, I can't do that. And he says, that's all right, I'll provide the power to do it. And you now have the power not to sin and to please God. Now, that's how it works. So the secret is abiding. There's no point in asking. Look, a lot of people ask God and they're not even abiding. How can you ask him unless you know what he wants? And how can you know what he wants unless you're with him? You can't just read the Bible and know what God wants. You can't just read the Bible and know what God wants. You cannot just read the Bible and know what God wants. The Bible is introducing you to a living God.
It isn't enough that you think you're good. You must be exactly what God wants, when He wants it, how He wants it. Amen?
Amen?
Many people are going to say on the last day, well, Lord, I did this for You and I did that for You and I cast out devils and, you know, I healed many and I was used mightily of You. And He'll say, depart from Me, you evildoers, I never knew you. How could that happen? Easily. Because they didn't know Him. They didn't abide in Him. They didn't come to know the Lord God, because if God had been their master, if they had really been born again and abode in God, then God would have told them, now do this, now do that, do this here, do that there. Not just do it in general, but specifically here and specifically there. Detail by detail, you cannot get details except by abiding in God. And I was telling Roger the other day that sometimes I fall into sin and I think to myself, now how could I, the pastor of the church, fall into sin? I know it sounds funny, but I really have these thoughts. How could I? I've been so spiritual for 2 months. I should have at least accumulated a week's vacation. But I didn't know this. I knew it intellectually, but I didn't know this in experience. You cannot accumulate abiding. You can't live with God for 2 weeks and then walk out one day and say, I've got 2 weeks going for me. I can probably last a day without Him. I found that sin had such a grip on me by not abiding with God that it was just as though I had never been born again. Hello. When you turn away from knowing God, that is experiencing Him. I'm not talking about my heart. I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about living with Him on a daily basis, minute by minute. I cannot resist sin unless I'm abiding in God. I need Thee every hour. I must walk with God constantly. I thought at least after, you know, a few months running, I should be a lot stronger, and then sin comes along and it doesn't quite get to me easily. No. I found that sin had a grip like that. As soon as I turned away from God, I fell back. And I found that sin, I couldn't just say, sin, I resist You in the name of Jesus. Uh-uh. The issue was not saying no to sin. The issue was abiding in God. You cannot try to stop sinning. Hello. You cannot try to stop sinning. Whenever you sin, you think, I got to stop this. Why am I doing this? I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. And then you do it. You could stop outwardly, I know that. But I'm talking about inwardly, from the heart. Really having the victory, you cannot stop it by an act of will. You must be built up. Do this with your will. I will go back and abide with My God. Just as I am, without one plea, I'm not going to go back cleaned up. I'm just going to go back carrying the blood with Me, that's My cleansing. And you go back with the sin into God's presence and abide there, and God changes you. And it works. This is the amazing thing, that abiding in God works. If you stay away until you're cleaned up, you'll never come back. If you stay away until you're cleaned up, you'll never come back. The only thing to do is go and abide and just start making love to God. That's what God wants. Hello. That's what He wants. He doesn't want you to clean up your life. He isn't worried about the fact that you're in sin. What He wants, He knows that if you're a Christian, you're going to bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you haven't asked. And if you haven't asked, it's because you're not abiding. Now look, let's say I'm abiding with God, and I'm in God's house, and we're making love, and I'm just, oh, God, I love You. I want to please You with everything I've got. And then God says, I want you to go and do thus and so. And I say to myself at that point, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I don't want to get up at 6 this morning. I'll get up at 6 tomorrow morning. Okay? Or I don't want to go and say I'm sorry to this brother or this sister right now. I know I did wrong, and I can see right now I should go and ask forgiveness, but I don't want to. I think I'll do that later. Now, that little disobedience is breaking the abiding. That little disobedience breaks the abiding. Now, God's not mad at you, but that's just the law. When you don't obey in that little bitty thing, when God said, go do it, and you heard Him, and you didn't say, God, give me the power to do it. Instead, you just said to yourself, I don't think I want to do that right now. I'll do it later, which sounded very pious. You know, just you were going to do it, but you just do it later in your own time. That was you playing God, and you didn't ask God for help. He knew you couldn't do it, just like you knew you couldn't do it. But you were supposed to stay and ask God for help. But you didn't. You just decided, well, you looked over at the thing and you thought to yourself, it's too much for me right now. And instead of asking help of God to do it right then, which would have been death to you, Instead, you just decided, well, I'll handle this later when I'm a little more built up or when I'm ready. And I'm going to tell you something. God never asks you to do anything you can do. He never asks you to do anything that's possible. He always asks you to do something you're not capable of doing. So that you have to ask Him to help you so that He gets all the glory. I'm going to say that again now. God will never ask you to do something that you can do. Otherwise, you'd get the glory. He always asks you to do something that's impossible. He wouldn't ask you to say, I'm sorry to Neely when you'd want to say it. He would ask you to say it when you didn't want to say it. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, I'm going to ask him, but you know, right now he's wearing that blue sweater, which I don't like. And I'm going to ask him later when he wears his red sweater. In other words, there's some reason. You don't have to even know what it is, but there's something in me that says I have a check in my spirit. You know, you don't have a check in your spirit. That's just your flesh. That's just your flesh. When God says to do it, you're supposed to ask Him and say, God, I don't want to ask Neely. But you didn't want to be that unpious. You see, I didn't want to go and ask Neely for forgiveness right then. So I just said, God, I should have stayed in the light, stay abiding with Him, stayed in the house with Him. I should have said, God, now I don't want to go and ask Neely's forgiveness. But I was so pious, I didn't want to say that. So I just stepped back and said, I'll do it later. But I broke fellowship then. I should have come back and said, now God, I don't want to do it right now. And He'd have said, go do it. And I'd have said, well, I can't. I don't have any inspiration for it. And He'd have said, you don't need inspiration. You just need obedience. And I'd have said, well, just obedience? That's going to kill me. Couldn't you help me? You know? And God will help me. It's amazing. If you stay there for a few sentences, suddenly the power will come into you and you realize, I can do it. And a little death will take place in you and you'll realize, it comes to me this way sometimes. I'm just standing there and I don't want to do it. But all of a sudden a little revelation comes, why are you resisting God? And all of a sudden love pours into me and I want to do it. I can't explain how it happens. I just can tell you it happens. As you're there arguing with God or whatever about the thing, you finally then see it. A vision just comes to you, a second vision, and you just feel in love with God, still don't have any power, and then you say, God, as you're talking with Him, suddenly the power flows into you and you ask the Lord to help you and you can just go and do it. And it's easy to do then. He'll give you wisdom, the timing, everything. It'll just be right and you'll bear fruit for God. Now that's abiding. Do you see how that works? Now if you don't abide like that, you're like a branch that withers and dies. And I tell you, when you live as a branch, I've lived as a branch, cut off from God, not abiding in Him, doing it in your own time. Now look, I haven't quit God. I didn't stop loving God. All I did was I didn't want to abide with Him. I wanted to visit Him. You know, when it was convenient, I was very spiritual. Hello, am I speaking? You know, I'm not talking now about my heart. I'm talking about my soul. I'm talking about my life. I'm talking about the way I live from day to day. I'm not talking about spiritual truths deep down. I'm just talking about how we abide day by day. Now, I'm fastened into God. He said, the word I've spoken to you has made you clean. Now, the word I'm speaking to you right now cleanses you. That is the word of God. You cannot get the word of God just by the Bible. You can't just have the Bible and say, now I have the word of God. No, the word of God is a living thing. It may be in the Bible. It may be that it comes alive there. But it also can be, just as you're talking with God, God is, excuse me. Praise the Lord. God has things in His house that you can fall on. God is constantly talking to us. My sheep, He says, hear my voice. God's always talking, so I need to always be there listening. Now, He isn't just talking in His Bible, but that Bible tells me about a living God who's constantly talking. And you know, in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about Neely. You know, it just says, love your brother, but I don't know which one, when, and how, and where. But God will give me details and say, now, Neely, now. He's very simple. Neely, now. You know? No, he talks in sentences. But, you know, God, you just say, go and do it. But as I'm listening to that, He knows my next reaction, if I'm honest, will be, I don't want to. Okay? Because now it could be that my reaction would be that I was abiding such in God that I just go and do it. But mostly, it does not happen that way. Could you bear witness to that? Mostly when God asks you to go do a thing, you have two reactions, one yes and one no, mostly. So here I am. I want to please God, but then on the other hand, I'd like to do it in my own time or in my own way, right? I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm not a rebel after all. I just want to do it my own way. I want to do it in my own time. Now, I have given God 2 weeks of my time. I think I deserve a day. Hello. Now, you know, I've been so holy lately that don't I get some time to be unholy? Now, that thought comes to us. It may not be real clear because we wouldn't want it to be clear. It's there. So I might as well tell God that. I might as well tell God, God, you know what I'd really like to do today instead of going and visiting Neely or somebody else? What I'd really like to do today is just nothing or lay around or, you know, play records or, you know, whatever it is you like to do. Now, God knows that's what you really think anyway. You might as well tell Him. So, God, I would rather not serve you today, even though I know you're God. I would rather be God today. Are you honest like this to God? This is the only thing that will break the hold of Satan over your life and the hold of sin. It isn't the temptation. It isn't the temptation that attracts you. If you're born again, temptation doesn't attract you. It isn't the sin that attracts you. It's that you've broken fellowship with God. I'll give a story. We can close with this. King David was on the roof of his house one day, looking out over the city. You remember that? Remember that story? He was looking over the balcony. You know why he was there? Because he was disobedient. He had already blown it. This is an accident waiting to happen. He had already broken fellowship with God. Do you know why? You know where God was that morning? God was out winning battles on the field with David's soldiers. David was back in the palace goofing off. You know why? Because David had fought hundreds of battles and won them all for God. Isn't it time now that he's a little bit older that he could relax a little bit? It says in the spring of the year is when the kings go to war. David's a king. Why didn't he go to war? Did he ask God? God, could I have permission to stay home? No. That's a little bitty sin. I mean, his warriors probably won the war even. You know, they were capable. He had plenty of good generals. But he did not obey God in that little teeny weeny whiny thing. So there he is in a place where he doesn't belong. He was no longer abiding with God. He wasn't writing Psalms that morning. You know, and here he is looking out over the balcony. You know, he had blown it. Now, but it didn't show up. He didn't feel bad. He had no conscience on this. He had no guilt. He didn't have any feeling. He was just, you know, just kind of goofing off. How many know that idle hands are the devil's workshop? You know? So here he is, you know, and he's not doing what God wanted to do. God wanted him to be out bearing fruit. It doesn't matter whether David felt that was fruitful or not. That's what God wanted to do. God had called David to be a man of blood, a man of war. Solomon was going to be a man of peace, stay home in the palace, but not David. Now, I don't care what the brother and sister do. You say, well, that person gets to stay home. Doesn't matter. You have to do what God tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, how he tells you to do it. You see that? So by breaking that little fellowship, which wasn't a big thing, but it was, he broke fellowship with God. He couldn't hear God. Therefore, he didn't need to pray to God. Therefore, he was just out goofing off. And when he did, his eyes suddenly spied something that interested him. It was not the will of God. It was not God's will that Bathsheba was there. And he said to himself, praise God, I'm glad I'm here. This is a godsend. I've been feeling so lonely and you know, I just need such comfort. And here God has provided a comfort and a loneliness. This must be God. It's right in my path. This is the will. I've heard people say that. That this person has come into my life right now, obviously from God. Well, yes. And then they bear testimony. He could have said, you know, if he was a prophet, he could have said, we will have a child from this liaison which will glorify God. True enough. That does not mean that was God's will. David blew it. David sinned. David had to come back before God and say, God, against thee. He didn't say against Bathsheba. He didn't say against Uriah, whom he had murdered. He didn't say all the lies that he'd made for 9 months when he wasn't confessing that sin and he wasn't writing any nice psalms. He said, against thee, when he was convicted, and thee only have I sinned. In other words, I wasn't abiding with you. So I wasn't seeing your vision, so I wasn't asking you for help so that I could do what needed to be done. I said to myself, I don't want to fight. But I didn't tell you that. You see, he could have told God, God, I'm over 40 now, and I don't want to go out to war anymore. He could have told that to God, and God would have said, thank you for the information, but I want you to go out to war anyway. There's a blessing in it, David. Do what I say. Now, I know that in the end, because David's heart was right, God blessed him. I just want to tell you something. He did wrong and he paid for it. He had the most agonizing life. You read David's life. It was one agony after another. Yes, he's a man of God. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he was saved. But his life was miserable. He did not experience the abundant life. David had to pay for the consequences of all that. Now, we're not in the Old Testament. I understand that. Nonetheless, you need to abide in Jesus. Because Jesus wants you to experience all the time the abundant life. He's ready to forgive and forget. But he wants you to experience the abundant life. Amen?
Amen.
Abide in me. Now look, the word that God speaks is not just this word that saves you, but it's this word that's constantly speaking to you saying, go to war, go forgive Neely, get up at 6, do this, go to church, do that, and so on. But we make up our own mind. You know, if you will tell me this, if you will say, Pastor, I asked God and he said, don't go to church today, praise God. That's great. But if you will ask God about everything, that is, abide in God's presence and say with a true heart, God told me not to do this, that's fine. I believe God can do that. I believe God can make all kinds of exceptions. But make sure you ask God. Don't just say, this is what we think, or this is my idea, or I think this is in line with God's will. You will be wrong every time. Always ask God. Develop that love affair with God in such a way. You see, God doesn't yell his orders out to us. God is like a good father who just, he doesn't have to yell, I said pick up your toys! You know, now that's after the 18th time, because he said, first pick up your toys, go pick up your toys. I said go pick up your toys. I said go pick up, you know, and 5 hours later, I said, you know, and we've finally gotten to that breaking point. God's not like that. God does not get to the yelling stage. He tells you once, twice, maybe 3 times, very quietly, and if you don't listen, he just goes his way. You've broken fellowship. He won't stay forever nagging you or yelling at you. How many know he does not hit you over the head with a 2x4? That's not God. God doesn't say, well, they didn't hear me, so they'll hear me this time. You know, that's what people say. They say, I've fallen into the hole because God's punishing me. He's not punishing you. God's calling you to abide with him. As soon as you recognize your sin, you are free to go back, carrying the blood of Jesus with you, covering your head with the blood. You go back into his presence. He won't say, well, now don't let this happen again. Or he's not going to do that. He's not going to chastise you, bawl you out, and spank you. You know what he's going to say? Praise God, you're here. And he's just going to love you and forgive you and hug you. And then, you know, when he loved you and hugged you, you're going to say, now, God, is there anything I could do for you? And he'll say, I'm glad you asked. You know? But after you know that he loves you and he's not mad at you, he's not angry, he's not going to get you for what you didn't do or did do. He just wants you to abide, to stay with him, to stay in his presence, and God will give you the power to do what he said. This time you'll say, God, I want to please you. I'm not going to go my own way because last time I fell in the hole, not because you put me in a hole, not because you allowed the hole to be there. It was my own hole. It was, you know, you would have tried to direct me away from that hole. God does not. The only reason I couldn't hear him, he said, look out for the hole. The only reason I couldn't hear him is because I wasn't abiding with him anymore. You see, God does not put disease on me. He does not make me poor. He does not try to strike me down. God does not let lightning come on me. That's my sin that does that. God's trying to stop me, but I'm not close enough to him anymore to hear him. I've grown dull of hearing. And the devil is saying, yeah, keep going, keep going. Boom. That's what makes me fall in the hole, not God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Abide in me. All God wants you to do is have fellowship with him, and God will do the rest. Fellowship with him. Don't stop temptations. You can't. Don't try to stop sinning. You can't. Just abide with God. God will. And when you abide with God, he begins to speak to you, and you know what? You'll become convicted about that. It's not Bathsheba that tempted David. It was David's sin of not abiding with God that, for example, that he trusted himself rather than God. God loved David. God wasn't going to hurt David. If he told him to go to war, it wouldn't have hurt him. He would have been blessed. God never wants to hurt you. He always wants to bless you. My thoughts are toward you thoughts of peace and never thoughts of evil. Never. God, I don't trust God sometimes. In all honesty, I don't. Do you? Do you always trust God? I know he's trustworthy in theology, but in practice, sometimes I think I'd rather, you know, be goofing off on the rooftop. Hello? Sometimes I'd rather do things my own way in my own time. I'm wrong. And you're wrong. Am I in the right group? Okay. But here's the thing. When you do that, don't worry about it. Don't try to stop. Just go back in and tell God what you've done. Now, God, this is because I took matters in my own hands. I sinned because I wasn't abiding. And I know you want to forgive me and love me. Therefore, I receive it. I take it. Now, what are we going to do about my sin? Because I still want to sin. That hasn't broken yet. And God said, let's keep talking about it. Now, why do you want to sin? Well, it seems to me that this is fun and I enjoy it and so on and so forth. And you just talk to God like this. Now, if you're born again and you start talking to God, God won't, hit you. He'll just listen to you. And it won't be long before a revelation will come and you'll realize, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm wrong. That's a lie. You'll just see it. I'm telling you, that's a miracle that will take place. But if you're honest with God like that, and don't be real pious and sweet as though you're so nice, but just tell Him, God, I want to be God sometimes. Am I still got everybody with me? Okay. And if you do that, a miracle takes place. I've experienced it over and over and over and over again. It happens every time, and it's biblical. That miracle will take place. You will experience miraculously the power of God, the conviction of God, the love of God. Just in making love to God, just in talking it over with God, just in being with God. Somehow He's able to do all this. And you know who gets all the glory? God. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father God, we thank You. We thank You that You are a great God and that it's Your will to abide with us, that You want to get all the glory. You want us to bear fruit. We're going to be fruitful people because we're an abiding people. Because we're a people that know how to ask. Whatever You say, we want to do. We want to do it. And we're able to do it. I thank You, Lord God, because You're in us. This is all You. It's all You. It's all You. Apart from You, we can do nothing. But we've been made clean by the Word. And we're going to abide in that cleanness. We're going to stay in that holiness. And that holiness is going to produce fruit. I thank You, Lord God, that it's no longer we that live, but You live in us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You are able to do what David didn't do. You are able to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. You are able to forgive and to forget. You are able to empower and enable. Lord God, there's only one thing. Today, maybe it seems that we don't want to live holy for You. But when we stand in Your presence, it's going to be so obvious that the one desire of our heart and our lives has been that we might please You. So, Lord God, let that be this day our desire. And let that also be our testimony, that we would please You with much fruit. Fruit that abides. Fruit that endures. If we abide in You, and You abide in us, and Your words abide in us, that is, we keep hearing Your words, we stay in fellowship with You, then we will produce much glory for the Lord God. We will manifest Your name. We will make known the greatness of God. We will experience why sin is a lie, and Thou art the truth. I thank You, Lord God, for this meal that we're about to partake. I thank You because in it is virtue. In this meal is power. In this meal is Your presence. In this meal is symbols. In this meal is the blood which covers and the bread which feeds. In this meal is the power of God. Because these are the friends of God. We have gathered here as Your friends. And we are friends forever because You have made us friends. And we will not depart from You all the days of our life. One thing have we desired of the Lord, that we might behold Your face and that we might look in the glory of God, the glory of our King, that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever and that we might inquire in Your temple. Father God, thank You for this day. Thank You for the message You've given to us. Encourage us now to abide, to exercise our will. We can always go back and abide in Your presence. That we can do, that we must do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.